Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of Ben and Woods brought to you by the California Highway Patrol. Been there, you're having fun, the party stops, it's time to make a decision. Be safe, plan ahead, and don't drive impaired by alcohol or drugs, including cannabis. It's not worth gambling with your life or the lives of others. Learn more at chpddp.com. Got our friend smiling.
I like eating. When you talk about cannabis.
You do.
Yeah. Makes me laugh.
Even in the sense of using responsibly and not driving.
Well, of course, obviously.
Yes, that makes sense. Craig Calcaterra is going to join us. We'll get one quick check of traffic here, though, on 97.3 The Fan. All right, so let's go out to Craig Calcaterra. You don't have his music, Paul. Not ready?
It didn't come up.
Well, that's probably the vaccine, this effect on you. Second vaccine, you can't find the music the way you usually do, as quickly as you do. Craig, my apologies. I know if you don't want to come on anymore because we don't have your walk-up music, I'll totally understand, but we still appreciate you joining us.
Oh, I guess I'll overlook it this time.
Fair enough.
I can sing it. I can sing it for you if you want.
Please
sweetness. No, I was only joking when I said I'd like to smash every tooth in your head.
There it is.
So he's practiced that.
Oh, many times.
He's practiced his Morrissey voice
many
before.
Times.
So Woods and I were having this discussion yesterday. We've been doing this show together for 3 years, and we thought, who knows? Maybe we'll be able to do it 15, 20.
Yeah.
Who knows how long? But to do that, we can't become the old stick-in-the-mud fuddy-duddies. We have to learn to adapt, and as times change, you got to be able to adapt with them. Are you having trouble adapting to the new baseball rules, Craig, of seven-inning doubleheaders and runners on second base in extra innings to make these games end a little bit quicker?
Driving me absolutely nuts. And it's driving me nuts that it's driving me nuts for just the same reason you mentioned, and that I tend to like innovation. I try not to be a traditionalist when it comes to baseball. Traditionalism usually insists upon itself. It doesn't have any reason other than because that's the way it happened when I was 12, and I don't like things like that. But just on an aesthetic basis and a consuming the game basis, I can't stand the extra runner, the runner on second and extra innings. I was fine with it in the minors. I go to some AAA games here in Columbus where I live, and I was at like two of them over the last couple of years where that has happened, and it doesn't bother me that much there. But for something about a major league game, it just bugs me. I think, you know, you sort of assume everything counts more and we're keeping track more and I'm going to remember this more. And so last night, for example, during the Indians White Sox game, when you've got a couple of pitchers just absolutely dealing, no one able to get on base. The story of the game is dominant pitching, no runners in scoring position, and then the minute you get to extra innings in a 0-0 game, putting a runner on second base, it seems like a desecration of the game.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Craig. And I've been known to do this from time to time. Last year, I was fine with it. It was weird. I embraced all the weirdness that baseball had to offer. I was just really happy after 4 months with no sports. I was happy to have baseball back. This year, to me, in 162, it feels a little bit different, but I've been kind of trying to preach the message to, the Padres have a good team now, and don't look at last night's game as evidence of that. Let's flush that one, but they have a good team, a team that's expected to contend and compete. My kind of point with the runner on second was like, look, we need a bullpen that's really fresh, ready to go come October, come September. the fewer 18, 17, 16, 15 inning games we can have, the better. Is that not a valid argument moving forward with this rule?
It's a valid theoretical argument, and it's one that I nodded at when it started to be offered. And then I can't remember who did it. Somebody like Joe Sheehan or somebody went back and looked over the last like 15 years of extra inning games. And the number of games that go beyond like 12 innings is vanishingly small. Extra inning games tend to almost always end after 10, 11 innings max. And we remember these big outlier crazy games, but they're so rare. And, you know, I've been tracking this season so far, and even with runner on second, we've had a number of like 11 inning games. And I don't know that it's really having a huge effect on time or anything else. Like you, I think last year nothing counted as far as I was concerned. It was all weird. Who cared? And there's something about the mindset of a regular season. And even though we still don't have full capacity at the ballparks, it feels like the vibe of a regular season right now. And I'm just having a very difficult time putting the vibe of a runner on second in extra innings with a regular season. And maybe I'll get over it. Like anything else, we get over everything. Although, you know, some people with the designated hitter, it's been 50 years and they're still not over it.
Well, that's funny that you bring that up, because if the last out was the pitcher, you can pinch run for him because you don't want him to get injured running the bases, but you're fine with him batting. I've been doing a bit on our show every day at 8:20 called the Boomer Bulletin, and that is to show all of the people just how bad the pitchers have been at hitting. And
it's even worse than usual.
It's like a 108 this year. And you know, I've got Shohei Ohtani's numbers in there, Craig. So there is a home run.
Skewing it.
Oh, he's skewing it big time, big time. And so. They're at like 108 right now, and that is a frustrating watch after the exciting baseball we saw last year.
And then, you know, Max Fried for the Braves, he hurt his hamstring yesterday running the bases. He shouldn't have been running the bases. In fact, he shouldn't have been pitching because he was doing terrible. But, you know, the idea that we still have pitchers out there hitting when we're willing to innovate to the nth degree in every other way, but we still have the National League rule going on right now, which shouldn't be existing at all anymore.
Former Padres prospect Max Fried. I have to throw it in. I can't help myself.
It's like ingrained in you. 20 years in sports media, he has to make the San Diego connection. Well, speaking of San Diego connection, congratulations on your very first San Diego Padres hat,
yes,
Craig. We're very proud of you.
It's not my first.
Oh, okay,
it's not
good.
My first.
It's a new one.
No, I bought a throwback, the old with the panel, the mustard panel and the brown sides, that late 70s model. I had one of those about 5 years ago. I got it when I was out there visiting, and it sort of bit the dust a few years ago. So I've gone a few years without one. But, yes, I just bought the official game, you know, new era San Diego Padres brown cap. It has now worked into the rotation. Apologies, it's still in the rotation with the Dodgers cap that you can see on my Twitter avatar, because I don't give up caps easily. So, but yeah, it's there now.
Well, you're a dad.
Well, speaking of the Padres, Craig, I know you recap all your games in your newsletter, which cup of coffee, if people want to subscribe, they can do so. The Padres game was a tough watch last night, 4 hours, 7 minutes. But Woodsy and I actually got into a pretty lengthy argument early this morning about Jay Stengler's decision to pull Blake Snell after just two outs and 38 pitches in the first inning. And, you know, his argument, which was a good one, was that the pitcher was about to come up. You got a veteran. You can get out of the inning there. And oftentimes they'll figure it out. You'll get, you know, 4 or 5 innings out of him, save your bullpen. My argument the other way is that, hey, they're coming off a 60-game season. Jay Stengler has been saying all along, we're going to be very cautious with the arms. We're not going to be taking chances. And I just think you don't want to risk a 45-to-50-pitch inning for a guy in his third start of the season after a 60-game year, especially a guy who's very rarely gone beyond 5 or 6 innings in his career as a starter. And we kind of never really settled that argument. Any thoughts on that one?
Well, I'll say at the outset that never have I been happier that Pittsburgh Pirates games are blacked out in Central Ohio where I live, so I didn't have to see this. Because I would have been tempted, and I'm glad I wasn't. With Snell, I don't want to buy into that narrative and a lot of Rays fans, I wrote about this morning, a lot of Rays fans, when Snell left and went to San Diego, everybody said, well, that's fine. Yeah, he did well for us. He had that Cy Young year and everything. But, yeah, he's soft. He can't go long innings. He never goes past 6. You know, I don't buy that because I've seen him pitch. He's a competitor. He's a good pitcher. I think some of that Rays sentiment about Snell, Rays fan sentiment about Snell, tends to be sour grapes or, you know, sort of making themselves feel better about losing a solid pitcher. That's what it smells like to me when I hear it. But then I see something like last night, and I think, okay, three innings, what he pitched, like 38 pitches or something like that. Two-thirds of an inning.
Two-thirds,
38 pitches. And, you know, I could see the argument of he just doesn't have it. Let's just shut this down tonight, come back in 4 days, and he'll be fresher for the experience. But, you know, other than that Darvish start the other day, the bullpen's been taxed lately. I mean, you had that, was that Sunday when you had the, you know, emergency bullpen game, basically, and they put a lot of innings on early. And, you know, Craig Stamen's an old Ohio man like me. I know how that feels. You can't rely on him too much. No, just kidding. But, yeah, I don't know what to think about Snell. I get that an early April game against the Pittsburgh Pirates is not exactly the definition of critical, so we could probably overanalyze this a little bit. But you do kind of hope that as the season goes on, he just sort of bears down, wears that one for a few more innings, and helps the bullpen get some rest.
Well, he was MF and somebody the whole way back to the dugout. This is, you know, you said it in your newsletter, a little bit of Stockholm syndrome from Rays fans. My whole argument was, you know, he's a veteran. You know, he's 38 pitches. He's not going to kill him. And the pitcher's coming up to pull him there. He could have possibly figured out giving you a little bit more length, which is something that, like you said, you desperately needed. And you want to be fresh going into that series against the Dodgers. But I think, you know, you can't overlook the Pittsburgh Pirates for some stupid reason. It's a team that, just very pesky yesterday. Tried to give the Padres the game. And just the runners in scoring position, not being able to hit, Craig, it was a very frustrating watch, one that we kind of forgot that those games exist as Padre fans. It's keeping us humble.
You'd rather it happen against the Pirates than against the Dodgers.
That's absolutely fair. Absolutely.
Just for your state of mind. I mean, a loss is a loss, but, you know, just for psyche purposes, you want that to happen against no one on the East Coast.
Speaking of frustrating, Craig, go back to our discussion of baseball innovation. They've had two fairly high-profile, I would call them failures of instant replay in the last week. I had the Michael Conforto ending where a pitch in the strike zone ended up as a game-ending hit batsman, and then you had the Sunday night finish in the ninth inning where the Alec Bohm sliding around home plate, never touched home plate, wasn't overruled in that game. Is instant replay broken? Is there a way to fix it? Would they be better off scrapping it, just maybe making some changes to it? Or is this just a couple of, you know, isolated incidents and let's not make too big deal out of it?
Yeah, they're two different problems. They're both fixable, but they're both baked into the system by rule right now. And the Conforto issue is that we have just decided, or Major League Baseball has just decided, there are certain calls that the umpire makes on the field that will not be reviewable, which is laughable. I don't know why we've decided that. I mean, there are certain judgment calls that, yes, perhaps an instant replay isn't going to give you extra insight on. But the whole idea is fans can see this on their screens. We need to get it right. And then saying, oh, no, but that kind of call we can't get right, such as, whether the umpire, whether the player, stuck his elbow out or whatever, is just stupid. They could fix that. They can make anything reviewable. The other thing is with that Phillies game, the deference that is given to the call on the field.
Yes.
So what happens is the umpire completely blows it, and you give the replay officials this rule that you can't overturn it unless. That's dumb too. Make the call, you know, as a lawyer would say, it's a prima facie review. Just look at it fresh, okay? It's not something that you have to say, I have to give credence to what the umpire said, because umpires screw things up. Both of these things could have been fixed at the outset and still could be fixed. And my system that I came up with several years ago when they were starting to talk about replay was, you have a fifth ump in the booth upstairs. He has just as much authority as any of the other umps, and he could just make the right call, with the idea being not that he's showing up the umpires, not that he's a big shot, but he just has a better view. If you have a better view, make the better call. That should be the end of the rule.
I love that idea. I absolutely love that idea. And, you know, somebody said the other day, why don't we just not tell them the call on the field and let them make the decision? I mean, hard to do. I mean, you put them in an isolation booth or, all right, Fred, we need you. And he comes in. Take a look at this. Safe or out? Oh, he looks out to me. Okay, great. He's out. It would be hard to implement, but there are fixes to this. Baseball loves to take forever.
I want to discuss this, though. Craig, it's an intriguing idea. I appreciate you giving us a jumping off point on that discussion. And as always, it's great talking to you.
Great to have me. Thank you. I was so happy.
You want to sing him out, Woods?
Sweetness, I was only joking.
Greg Calcaterra on our
there it is.
Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Come visit us today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Find new roads. Jesse Agler often talks about, hey, as Craig said, look at it fresh eyes. Don't care what the rule was on the field.
Doesn't matter.
Make the best call.
Make the right call
on replay. But I'm intrigued by Craig's idea. Let's get rid of replay challenges in the dugout. Let's just have a replay official like in the NFL at every game, the fifth umpire. And if he sees something that looks hinky, he buzzes down and says, give me 30 seconds. I'm going to look at this and I'm going to make a better call. I get a better view. I get a better view of this one. I'm going to make a better call. Will there still be mistakes every once in a while? Absolutely. No system is flawless. Even with instant replay, there's just going to be inconclusives. There's going to be, you know, just bad judgments from time to time. But if you give that umpire the authority and say, all right, this is wrong. You know what? Michael Conforto, he leaned his elbow into the strike zone. It was a strike. I got the box there.
Yep.
You know, you were going to call it a strike.
He was punching him out.
Let's get this right, and I've got the authority to do it. He said, give me a minute. We're going to make this right. I think that might be the best way to go for Major League Baseball. The fifth umpire, the eye in the sky umpire that can correct wrongs as he sees them happen in the course of a game.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a couple people say, you need to put an old catcher back there. That's what you need. You need a catcher back there as the replay official. The fewer umpires, the better, Ben. That's how I feel. Putting a fifth umpire up there, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see people that are better at their jobs than that.
Yeah, I don't want reviews of balls and strikes unless you're going to.
What if Angel Hernandez has the eye in the sky for the night? Angel, you got
again,
the eye.
Like I said, there's still going to be mistakes. There's no 100% foolproof, flawless system for making fair calls. But there's got to be a better way to avoid some of these really obvious, egregious errors that weren't corrected like we've seen in the past couple of weeks.
Look at that. Ben and Woods in full lockstep agreement.
Wow.
Amazing.
Well, let's get back to fighting in our final
let's
hour.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
We will talk more Padres baseball. We got our Dip-S tweets, which...
oh, my God. We could have done an hour.
Should be a good one. Maybe we can use some Blake Snell alongside some of the Dip-S tweets.
I'd like to hear from Blake, because we have not heard from Blake
yet. I want to play some of the audio of his post-game Zoom news conference.
People.
Wasn't as fun as some of the other ones.
I would imagine.
But there were some similarities as well, so we'll get to that coming up in our final hour. Right now, though, it's time for our Grand Slam giveaway code word. This hour's code word is neighbor.
I like
text
that.
Neighbor, hopefully you know how to spell it, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest.
Super easy, N-A-Y-B-O-R.
That's not how you spell neighbor.
N-E-I-G-H-B-O-R, neighbor.
Correct. Message and data rates apply. Don't drive and text. Tune in at 55 past the hour between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. for code words in the Grand Slam giveaway powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. All right, we're going to get into some Snell. Kick off our final hour. It was a tough one last night for Padres fans. Fresh game, though, coming up just hours away. It's Ben and Woods.
I'm going to try to break you also next.
All right, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.